प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री रेणु गिरिधर आशीष गौड़ वाक्य वंदिता श्री श्री राधे कृष्ण गौर गोविंद श्याम गुरु राधा गोविंद गिरि गुरु दान की जय श्री गुरुदान की जय गुरुदान की जय मन तो सब के लिए जय गंगा गौरी वैष्णव के लिए जय सब भगवान के वृंद की जय गो प्रेमानंद की All glories to some of the devotees, all glories to some of the devotees, all glories to Sri Guru, Sri Guru, all glories to Sri Guru Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Namo Vishvanaya Krishna Prabhupada Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Nityanamane. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Narvashesha Shunyavani Pashtatu Desha Charane Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadaha Sivasri Gauravakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Sri Vishnu Bhagavata Chapter 16 Verse 50 Shri Bhagavan Umacha
Shri Bhagavan Umacha
Yanara Angiro Vyamte
Yanara
Sri Bhagavan Vacha.
Sri Bhagavan Vacha.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead slides. Narada Angirobhyam.
Narada Angirobhyam.
The great sages Narada and Angira. Te unto you, Vyavritam, spoken of me, of me, Anushasanam, worship. Samsiddha, completely perfected. Asti,
as
you are.
You are.
Taya,
Taya,
by that.
By that.
Rajan,
Rajan.
Go king.
Go king.
Vijaya,
Vijaya.
Matra, Rashanat,
Rashanat.
From the direct sight.
From the direct sight.
Sha,
Sha.
As well
as. As well as.
Me,
me,
me, of me.
Of me.
Translation, Supreme Personality of Godhead Anandadev replied as follows, O King, as a result of your having accepted the instruction spoken about me by the great sages Narada and Angira, you have become completely aware of transcendental knowledge. Because you are now educated in spiritual science, you have seen me face to face, therefore you are now completely perfect. For a part, the perfection of a life is to be spiritually educated and understand the existence of the Lord and how He creates, maintains, and annihilates the cosmic manifestation. When one is perfect in knowledge, he can develop his love of Godhead through the association of such perfect persons as Narada and Angira and members of their succession. Then, one is able to see the unlimited Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face. Although the Lord is unlimited, by His causes mercy He becomes visible to the devotee, who is then able to see Him. In our present position of conditional life, we cannot see or understand the Supreme Personality of Krishna, Godhead. No one can understand the transcendental nature of the name, form, quality, pastime of Sri Krishna through His materially contaminated senses. Only when one becomes spiritually saturated by transcendental service to the Lord with the transcendental name, form, quality, and pastimes of the Lord revealed to him. If one takes the spiritual life under the direction of Narada Muni or his representative and thus engages himself in the service of the Lord, he qualifies himself to see the Lord face to face. The Brahma Samhita states, I worship the honorable Lord Govinda, who is on the scene by devotees whose eyes are anointed with the pulp of love. He is seen in his eternal form of Shama Sundar, situated within the heart of the devotee. One must follow the instructions of the spiritual master. Thus, one becomes qualified and later sees the Supreme Personality of Godhead and thus has been inspired Maharaj Chitraketu. Translation, the Supreme Personality of Godhead on today replied as follows, O King, as a result of your having accepted the instructions spoken about me by the great sages Narada and Angira, you have become completely aware of transcendental knowledge. Because you are now educated in the spiritual science, you have seen me face to face, and therefore you are now completely perfect. So, now the Lord begins to speak. King Chitraketu has offered his prayers and glorified the Supreme Lord and the process of bhakti and the devotees. Now the Lord begins to speak. So this is usually what happens in the Bhagavatam. We'll see the Lord appears, somebody offers prayers, and then the Lord speaks. So the glorification of the Lord is there to show the understanding that the devotees have. And then the Lord will say something. Usually He acknowledges the devotion of the speaker. And then He gives some instructions of some sort. So a lot of the Bhagavatam is taken up with these instructions given by the Lord in certain circumstances. So here we see the Lord giving instructions to King Chitraketu. Now, of course, it is said here He's already perfect. Samsado asi, you are perfected, completely perfected now. Because of knowledge and because you've seen me. So that is true. There is perfection because of meeting the Lord and having complete knowledge. Nevertheless, spiritually speaking, knowledge is never complete concerning the Lord. There's always something to be added, or something to make it more complete, or most complete. That is why the Lord gives His advice to Kinchitra Ketu. So here the Supreme Lord also acknowledges the fact that Narada and Angira have spoken about the Supreme Lord to Kinchitra Ketu. So it's not that he's independently realized anything. So, in other words, here Shankaracharya is showing that knowledge and ultimately realization of the Lord come about because of instructions from devotees. So that is the process that is described in the Bhagavatam and in other literatures. If you look into other Puranas, if we look in the Shrutis, Upanishads, then again, the realization comes about by a person giving instructions to another person. They explain something, and then they take that, the other person takes that knowledge, and through that, they get their realization. So it is done by direct instructions, not indirect instructions. Yeah? So everything is delivered by someone to someone else. Of course, sometimes the Supreme Lord Himself gives the knowledge, as in the case of the Supreme Lord giving the instructions to Brahma. He gave the Chandrasloki, or the Bhagavatam, first of all. So that is directly the Supreme Lord doing it. So in that case, we have Lord acting with the devotees in between. But usually it is through devotees of the Lord. We don't expect the Lord to always appear and give instructions. So, the usual process is that it operates through the devotees. And this way one gets knowledge, as mentioned here, vidya. And then through that, one gets to seek the Lord. So, vidya here does not strictly mean just knowledge as such, getting some facts. That, of course, is also important. That's what we call sambandhagyan. You have to understand who is the Lord, who is the jiva, etc. So the knowledge is also necessary. But we also have to understand what is the process by which we approach the Lord and understand who He is. That is the process of bhakti. And we also have to understand what is the goal of all of this work. Is it simply liberation? Or is it service to the Lord? What is it actually? So we have to get the goal properly also. So that is why in our philosophy we define these parts of knowledge as sambandha, abhidhyaya, and prayojana. These three aspects are presented in the Vedic literatures. But this is all part of knowledge. But that is not, of course, the only aspect of knowledge, to get that in your head, but actually to practice it. So the practice of bhakti itself is also vidya. So in the Brahma Sutras it often mentions vidya, and in the Upanishads also. So that's not simply mean knowledge, but suddenly you get some knowledge and then you get realization. It means a practice. So ultimately that means the practice of bhakti. So therefore vidya is equated with bhakti yoga. Some people will say, oh, it means jnana, or it means this or that, whatever. It is true in some sense, but ultimately, since the goal is to understand the Supreme Lord, then the only process is that's bhakti yoga. So therefore, the process, if we say vidya, by vidya he got to see the Lord. He can't see him by jnana. He has to do bhakti. So therefore, vidya means bhakti. So that is explained in some places by our acharyas also, that vidya actually means bhakti, not anything else. So therefore, if people quote things that, no, Jnana Yoga is there because it says by vidya you get realization. No, it doesn't mean that. No, the vidya means bhakti. So here we have vidya also. So here it means bhakti. Within bhakti there is knowledge also. We get knowledge also, we get scriptural knowledge. But we also have the practice of bhakti. So that is also part of vidya. So through that practice, then we get the result. So the result is expressed by darshan, to see the Lord, or sometimes called sakshatkar, to directly meet the Lord. This, of course, is not about simply, oh, I saw him. But of course, it means that eternally one sees the Lord, eternally one serves the Lord, not just seeing the Lord once. So that the sakshatkar and darshan, one is successful simply by seeing the Lord once, and that is it. That means that one actually develops a personal relationship with the Lord, in which the Lord is visible to the devotee in that service. So that ultimately is the goal, the prayojana, to serve the Lord directly. So before that, we do sadhana. So we don't see the Lord directly, but we have processes of practicing that. So we have deities, and that way we can serve the Lord directly. And then we have chanting, and the name is non-different from the Lord. So we have processes by which we associate with the Lord even now. But then the result is the actual appearance of the Lord himself, inside or outside the devotee. That is considered to be the goal, ultimately, in which one directly serves. So that can happen in the material body, in which case one has prema and one is, sees the Lord. Or after leaving the body, then one can go to the spiritual world and associate with the Lord there also. Both are perfection. So that is what the samsiddhi is, or samsiddhosi, or having perfected. So you've got the goal, you've actually seen the Lord, and you can serve the Lord directly. So that is accomplished only through the process of bhakti, and not through anything else. So in this particular case, what was his bhakti? He got mantra. He was instructed with a certain mantra, a series of verses by Narada Muni, and then he chanted those for a few days, and then the Lord came. So that was his vidya. The mantra was his vidya. And the mantra again was none other than bhakti. It was the Supreme Lord. And the mantra was about the Supreme Lord, description of the Supreme Lord, offering respects to the Supreme Lord, etc. So the mantra was also the means, the particular type of bhakti, chanting the mantra. And that was how he was able to make the Lord appear before him. So, therefore, it's the process of bhakti, and only the process of bhakti, which brings about the appearance of the Lord in a positive way. The Lord will appear when he comes as avatar, and even demons see him, and they don't practice bhakti. That, of course, is extraordinary mercy of the Lord. But again, they don't get the same effect. Yes, they have darshan of the Lord, but they don't serve the Lord. They may try to kill the Lord instead. So it's a completely different type of darshan. So when we say darshan here, or sakshatkar, we mean actually they see the Lord with favorable intentions and they serve the Lord in devotion. So that type of perfection is achieved only through bhakti. So this is the actual perfection for the devotee to develop to that stage. And it comes through bhakti, and bhakti comes through the instructions given by the devotees of the Lord. So what that means is the devotees of the Lord, where did they get that from? Where did they get, in other words, they got instructions, they got bhakti, where did they get their bhakti from? It means they got from somebody else. Or somebody else, or somebody else, or somebody else. So in other words, we have this parampara system of devotees, teaching devotees, teaching devotees, teaching devotees. And then finally, somewhere at the end of the line, then we have Supreme Lord. He has to teach first person. So we have the Supreme Lord teaching Brahma, Brahma teaching Narada, Narada teaching Vyasa. It's a line of people teaching each other. So, that is described in the Bhagavatam, the second canto, that Supreme Lord spoke to Brahma. And Brahma spoke to Narada. And then in the first canto, it describes how Narada spoke to Veda Vyasa and gave him instructions on writing Bhagavatam. So in this way, the knowledge comes down. Now, the knowledge is various because it includes everything, in one sense. So it might be a little confusing.
So in the Chatusloki, it's all condensed, very, very condensed. Then again, we have some Bandhyavadhyaya Prayojana mentioned there. Then it expands into the Bhagavatams we have here, in which there are many other topics seem to be also mentioned. In any case, this is being written by Veda Vyas to fulfill the intentions of Narada Muni, who said you have to glorify Krishna. So therefore the Bhagavatam's intention is to present knowledge. But what is that knowledge? That knowledge again is bhakti. And knowledge of the Supreme Lord in the form of Krishna. So it means devotion to Krishna. So by taking that knowledge of Krishna and the process of bhakti, then we get realization of Krishna. Here we find Chitraketu getting darshan of Sankarsana. He chanted mantras with Sankarsana's name in it. We chant mantras with Krishna's name in it. So therefore, we get realization of Krishna. So, we also have mantra. That's one of our types of vidya. We also have nama. That is another type of our vidya. We also get knowledge of Bhagavatam. That's another part of our vidya, or whatever. And the process of bhakti that we follow itself. It's all the other types of bhakti are also part of this vidya. So that vidya is directed towards Krishna. That is our particular choice in sampradaya. Other sampradayas will choose Vishnu or some other form. So our sampradaya goes in the direction of worshipping Krishna and using Bhagavatam to support that. So through particular line of authority, then this knowledge comes out. Why not some other person? Why don't we worship someone else? Because this line of authority has gone in this direction. Narada, to Vyasa, to Sukadeva, etc. And come out with Bhagavatam. So, therefore, this line of authority of devotees has resulted in the worship of Krishna through pure bhakti. So in this way, the bhakti's cause is bhakti itself. Another devotee's bhakti causes bhakti, development of bhakti in another person. Ultimately, of course, as I said, it comes from the Supreme Lord Himself. So ultimately, bhakti is purely spiritual and doesn't arise from combinations of anything in the material world, any of the gunas or anything, any sadhana. The other sadhanas are in the gunas. They arise from the gunas, and therefore they're also temporary. Bhakti does not arise from the gunas, it is eternal. So therefore, when we do bhakti and we get perfection, we continue bhakti after perfection, because that is eternal. In the case of karma yoga with perfection, you stop the karma yoga and enjoy the results. And then you exhaust the results and then you come back to the material world again. In jnana, you give up the jnana and you're liberated and that's it. No more practice of jnana. You simply end up in Brahman, finished. So those practices are non-eternal. They're given up when one attains the perfection of that particular item. But bhakti does not in any way, it's never given up. It is continued in perfection as well. So that is the unique quality of bhakti as compared to other sadhanas. And, as I said, it arises from Krishna Himself. It does not arise from anything in the material world. So it is part of Krishna. So therefore to tell that is called the Sarup Shakti. It comes from the Sarup Shakti of Krishna. This is distinct from the Bahiranga Shakti, which is outside of Krishna. So we have the Antaranga Shakti, that's within Krishna, the Sarup Shakti. That means integrally related with the Supreme Lord in the spiritual world. So bhakti is part of that, the energy of the spiritual world. But it appears in the material world by the mercy of the Lord in the devotees. And then the devotees give that shakti to other devotees. So that is how we have the parampara system. That is why one person teaches another. So this is a good example here. Narada Muni and Angira gave instructions to King Chitraketu. They gave him the process, they gave him the mantra. So that was their bestowal of bhakti. And then he practiced, and then he got his result. So this is the process indicated in the Bhagavatam. And we'll see the case also with Sukadeva and Parikshit and so many others. One devotee teaches another, and that way they get their realization. So, therefore, by vidya, by bhakti, then he got darshan, and through that darshan, and heard the meeting of the Lord, then he has attained his perfection here. This is the what is stated. And all that comes about through the devotees of the Lord.
Maharaj, initially you mentioned about this bhakti comes, or realization comes from direct instructions and not indirect instructions. Could you please explain what is direct instruction, what is not indirect?
Well, like Ritvik.
Sorry?
Like Ritvik.
So we can say the books or the tapes or whatever it may be, they are all considered as indirect instructions?
They're a combination. But anyway, ultimately there has to be a direct person there also. That's the idea. Now, obviously the books are there because Vedavyasa wrote the Bhagavatam and that was passed on, so it's there. But still, we need someone speaking. So Krishna speaks to Uddhava, Narada speaks to Vyasa, he just says, here's the book, read it. and even after that, it was carried on, in spite of the book being there, still, the instructions were given after that. That's why we have paramparas, otherwise we don't need a parampara. We just have the books and finish, but we have paramparas for that reason, as well as the book. So that gives the basis, but nevertheless the delivery of the devotee is important. And the contrary, then we have a person who isn't a devotee speaking Bhagavatam also. And then you may get a parampara that way also, but it's not a bona fide parampara. So we get all sorts of people, non-devotional people speaking Bhagavatam, and the effect is going to be completely different. So therefore we have to have someone who will deliver it properly. That's there, obviously. So we have questions and answers in the Bhagavatam itself. Where Parikshit asks questions and Sukadeva answers. Otherwise the doubt will remain. So then we will read those questions, but even then we'll have questions on those questions again. The answers may not be clear. So therefore we have acharyas. But even then, we'll look at the acharyas commentaries and people have questions on that also. So the questioning will always go on because our minds are not so perfect. And who's there to answer the question? Who's going to answer the question? If we go to the book, then we argue forever. And the meaning of this, and we want forever like that. So if it comes to devotees, then we have a more authoritative way of getting a correct answer. Yeah, the Lord can directly interact, but generally our process is to go through the devotional line. Yes, the Lord can do directly. That requires a high level of realization, and most devotees, we cannot claim that every day we get the realization of Krishna every day. So we have to more or less go by the authority of scriptures and stuff.
Prabhupada makes a little
one time. Well, he met him after that also. Yeah.
Which means
he's prema. Well, it's either one or the other, bhava or prema. Because you can see the Lord in bhava also. So that's after sadhana. So one sense that is perfection. But it is not as perfect as prema also. So higher perfection is prema. But bhava also is considered one stage of perfection because it's not sadhana.
So here it is bhava.
It doesn't actually indicate what it is. It could be either.
Or at least offense is perceived.
Uh-huh.
So
That we can say is arrangement of the Lord also. It could be either Baba stage or arrangement of the Lord. I would think it's arrangement of the Lord.
Which is better, Lord coming down to me and giving instruction or Lord sending his pure devotees
instruction? Well, for the Lord to personally come, it means the person is very highly qualified, obviously. And that doesn't take place except in very, very rare circumstances, usually when the Lord comes as avatar. And he only comes once in one yuga or whatever. So that's not available for most people, that's all. Yeah, jnana and karma, not bhakti. No, that's not. That's sadhana. The other sadhana is the material. Bhakti is nirguna, it's beyond the gunas.
Bhakti is available
in the devotees. Only a devotee can give bhakti. Mm-hmm.
Bhakti can be given by one devotee, another
devotee. Yeah.
So that means bhakti is always eternal. The material world is always there.
As long as the devotee. Well, Brahma
is the
first devotee in the material world, so
he's
last for the whole universe until it ends.
Maharaj, you mentioned that the jiva will go to the spiritual world. And it serves the Lord, or it can have the darshan of the Lord here itself and then serve the Lord also. So if it goes to the spiritual world and then serves, means here it is not in the prema level. So
could or could not. He could not have developed prema until he goes to the spiritual world. In other words, he didn't achieve the perfection, and then after he left his body, then he went to the spiritual world and got his perfection. Usually, of course, one gets prema first in the material world. That's the usual case. But maybe some exceptions also, where he did bhava in this life, and then after that, in case of Narada Muni, he ended up in bhava in this lifetime, and then he got prema next lifetime or whatever. But that's in the special case because he's also Shaktivishavatar. He got the mantra through Narada, and Narada is also the Shaktivesh avatar of Bhakti, so actually he's more prominent. But Angira also gave instructions. That's recognized here.
Maharaj ki. Ki.